Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collection station. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Matthew got up and followed him. And as Jesus sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "What does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." While Jesus was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died. Come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and, seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put aside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. The report of this spread through all of that district. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God, our loving parent, and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now Jesus was walking along, as you just heard, and he met a man called Matthew, who was a tax collector, which is why he was sitting at the tax collection station. And he invited him to dinner. But when they got to the dinner, Matthew saw something strange, because there were other tax collectors there, and sinners of all kinds. The Pharisees, who were also hovering around, scoffed at Jesus and the disciples for eating with this kind of people. And then Jesus said something even more comical to their worldview. "I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Now, while all of this was happening with the Pharisees, two other situations came to Jesus' attention. There was a woman, as you heard, who had been bleeding for 12 years, which would have meant that she had been unclean for 12 years. In faith, she reached out to touch Jesus' cloak, which was a huge transgression in her culture, but she was hoping beyond hope that he could help. "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well," said Jesus. And she did go away healed. Now, Jesus was still on his way. He was very busy, always on his way. He arrived at the synagogue leader's house, and the synagogue leader had called for him because his daughter was dying or had died. And when Jesus got there, there were already flute players and mourners surrounding the home. But Jesus said, "Go away, the girl's not dead, she's just sleeping." And they laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. Now in the Markan version of this story, Jesus orders the people to give the girl something to eat. And I always picture her sitting up and eating defiantly a falafel sandwich. And that makes me laugh. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in these last few days, Ann Ferrance and Chris Pilari and I, among others, have been at the New England Synod Assembly in Worcester. And I'm Jean, and Casey, and Jessica Chica, and many other people you know. And Kenton.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, I need to leave you out. There were pastors and deacons, seminary students and interns, lay people, aid organizations, activists. All of us gathered in one room for the sake of the gospel. And it occurs to me that there are many who would look at this bunch of sinners and think that what we were doing was laughable. what does it matter that we debated changing the synod constitution of a small denomination? And what does it matter that we passed resolutions on caring for the environment or supporting our siblings in Palestine? What would it look like to others who would see us singing songs that we sometimes knew and sometimes didn't, and breaking bread together and hearing the gospel preached all in a windowless conference room? I suppose it would seem laughable to many. It would seem laughable in the context of a world dominated by self-interest and greed and war and lies. I suppose one could even call it foolish. And yet, we remember that the authorities laughed at Jesus. They laughed because he was eating with sinners, and because he was walking around healing people that everyone else had dismissed as not worth their time. Others have also laughed at the works of God. Remember Sarah? She laughed. She laughed when she heard that she would become a mother at an advanced age. And yet in our second reading for today, we are reminded that Abraham and Sarah became parents of many nations. Amen. I imagine that many were laughing at Joseph when he chose to remain betrothed to Mary, even as it became clear she was mysteriously pregnant. And have you heard of the tradition of Holy Humor Sunday? In the 15th century, some Bavarian monks started a practice of adding jokes and funny stories into their sermons on the Sunday after Easter. It was called Risus Pascalis and was meant to celebrate that God played the ultimate cosmic joke on Satan by raising Jesus from the dead and defeating death. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now, there are some who would find this wholly inappropriate rather than a holy tradition. Some would say that jokes have no place in our worship of God. I found out this the hard way when I was a brand new pastor in rural Illinois. I was invited to join my new church's Lutheran women's group for their monthly lunch, and in an effort to get to know them better, I decided to tell them about the book I was reading, which was called Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Jesus' Childhood Pal. More. Have any of you read it?
No.
It's pretty good. And I relayed with joy to the church ladies that one of the first scenes in the book, Jesus' little brother took a lizard, smashed its head on a rock, after which he handed it to his big brother Jesus, who put it in his mouth and pulled it out resurrected. And this call caused his little brother to smash that lizard again and again, and Jesus to resurrect the lizard again. Well, there was silence around that And then one of the church ladies, let's call her Marge, turned to me very seriously and said, "Pastor, I just don't think we should talk about our Lord that way." Oops. Oops. Listen, I do think that faith is serious business, but we also can't take ourselves too seriously. Jesus came that we would have life and life abundant. Amen?
Amen.
And to me, that means that the risen Christ wants us to laugh sometimes and to find joy in the life we have been given. Joy in knowing Christ and the healing he brings to our lives. Joy in worship. Joy in relationships. Joy in our work. Joy in music. Joy in art. Joy in sports. Joy in living and loving fully, even in the midst of illness, or war, or what seems like the slow decay of our democracy. This is not foolish to find joy. This is a sign of faith. "Daughter, your faith has made you well," said Jesus to the afflicted woman. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of Abraham, that Abraham did not weaken in faith When he considered his own body, which was already good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, and the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, maybe even laughing. Amen?
Amen.
Being fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised. Last week I talked about how it is important to know where we stand and to stand there. But it's true that when we stand with Jesus, against war, against tyranny, against racism, against patriarchy, or when we stand with and march with the queer community and walk with our siblings in Palestine, we may be laughed at. We may be mocked. For sure, we will be mocked. But remember, we do not stand alone. We stand in joy and solidarity with the saints who have gone before us here at Unilu and across the world, and of all times and places. And we stand with Jesus, our brother, fully human, fully divine, crucified and risen, our ultimate healer and our fellow troublemaker. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to leave you with some words from Bishop Nathan Peeble from the Synod Assembly, which he shared with us. He said from the pulpit, he confessed to us that he never takes the stairs. He never takes the stairs because they're always up to something. Well, at least half the time.
Yeah.
He laughed a little bit. And it's good that we laugh. It's good that we have joy together as a community and in this place, because what we have to do is really hard sometimes, but we have each other and we have friends. And now may the peace and joy of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.